The things I'm planning.
I wonder if we can talk wrestling here instead of canaries.
Sure, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about, but don't talk to me about it.
Baby, I'm hot like the prodigal son.
It's Rumble. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Wrestling News Pro Podcast. Podcast for WWE Fest. Here are your hosts, Michael Huff and Anthony Savino, who aren't the least bit British. They just aren't decent enough to pay for this voiceover. Let's get ready to rumble!
This is the artist formerly known as Heel Turn Radio. This is Pro Wrestling Review. That's right. We're changing up, changing the name. Fantastic content. My name is Michael Hoff. You can follow me on Twitter, the FF Realist. There's Anthony Servino. You can follow him at the Real NFL Guru. And then Dan Siegel. Is it Dan Siegel Uncut? Is that what it is now?
Yep.
Yeah.
See, it's always been Dan Siegel Uncut, though.
I know.
Yeah, but Mike never remembers it.
I had to ask him the last episode because I didn't remember. This time, I pretty much got him. And next time, I'll be able to say it with complete and utter confidence. So, there you go. So, getting better and better. We're going to go over a lot of the Money in the Bank results. There's a lot of news to talk about. You know what? Might as well just open it up with this because I always put WWE Network on right here, in my other monitor here. And right now, I have on Money in the Bank from this past Sunday. And I've got Big Cass getting ready to tap out. Big Cass tapping out just like Vince McMahon tapped out on Big Cass. So
exactly.
What is are there any reactions from you guys about the Big Cass firing?
Not surprised. No big loss.
Yeah. I was not surprised. It was necessary. I was never a believer in Big Cass. I always believed he was one of those guys who had to be carried by a mouthpiece, which was Enzo, and once Enzo was gone and Big Cass got injured, it just all fell apart. They always had, reportedly had backstage heat, the both of them. So this was bound to happen.
Yeah, here's the thing. Regardless if it's fair or not, he got caught with the Enzo stigma. And, he gets hurt at the absolute wrong time because they basically wanted him to carry the ball at that time and he got hurt. Then he comes back. He goes off script with the whole midget small person situation. He apparently was getting in arguments backstage. There was an incident on a plane or a bus or something like that. It's like now, we got rid of Enzo and now I've got a 7-foot Enzo problem. Like, no, the end of the day, Cass wasn't making them any money. So get out.
I'm going to make a statement here, and I want to know if you agree or disagree from both of you guys that if Drew McIntyre wasn't around, would Big Cass still have a job? Because I believe he would. I believe he would. I don't know if they would have given up because Drew McIntyre is that big powerhouse that they wanted Big Cass to be.
No, but I think it's like what Dan said. I think they already knew that they had a problem on their hands. He's not exactly making any money for them. It'd be different if they held on to Enzo for as long as they did because his merchandise sales were killing it. It was once there was that whole rape allegation, they just couldn't ignore that and the fact that he didn't even tell them about it. So, Cass wasn't selling. If Cass was selling merchandise, it wouldn't matter if McIntyre was around or not. He'd still have a job. But there was also, Dan, did you hear, apparently he was drunk on the European tour in public?
Yeah, I think that's what the plane or bus incident was.
That was the straw that broke the camel's back, I believe.
And here's the thing. They gave him two prime matches with Daniel Bryan. Right. And unless somebody here disagrees with me, he didn't do anything in either match. Bryan carried those matches.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but we expected him to.
No, my point is if you're going to get put in a match with Daniel Bryan, you've got to give something to the match. I know Daniel Bryan's got to do a gurn of the work, but Cass has to do something to add to that, and he did nothing.
you know, Big Cass might not see it right now, but this could have been the best thing that happened to him.
Right.
This could have been the best thing that happened to Enzo, because I know Enzo isn't doing too well on the indies right now. And I think the best thing for both of them is to reunite and try to make another run in the tag team division somewhere else.
Yeah.
I think they're a stronger team together than they are apart. And I think that they could get a shot to catch fire in the New Japan or Ring of Honor.
The question I was going to ask is, you know, you bring up Drew McIntyre earlier. Do you think Big Cass has an opportunity to kind of follow that same sort of path that McIntyre did? Not with the same kind of dominance, because, I mean, McIntyre is just – McIntyre is – they're not even in the same conversation. But do you – basically what I'm asking you is, do you think he could work his way back?
No.
To WWE eventually?
Not by himself. No. Not by himself. He needs a mouthpiece. Listen, why do you think Ryback's out of wrestling basically right now? Because he can't talk, and that's all Big Cass really is. He's like another Ryback. Drew McIntyre can at least talk. Drew McIntyre's a personality. Drew McIntyre's a very strong personality.
Leave the mic work out of this. Big Cass is not good in the ring. Big Cass is a big boot and a leg drop and a punch. Like, that's it. There's nothing there.
He would have been a superstar in the 80s.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. That's the 80s. It's not now.
Yeah, it's 2018. So,
all right. Anthony, you live in the 80s. We don't.
Anthony definitely lives in the 80s, yes. Anthony is our resident gossip column and our man stuck in the 80s.
80s, 90s, best era of wrestling ever, guys. Come on.
By the way, speaking of which.
Best ever.
Anthony, I know you've been carrying us on Total Bellas. Are you now also going to carry us on Miz and Maryse?
Oh, I don't know anything about that. Fill me in.
I may actually get on that, to be honest, because I love the Miz.
I say that starts next week, right?
I love Maryse.
Well, yeah, that too. That
wait, they have their own show?
Yeah,
yes,
man.
It starts next week.
Come on, man. You're our gossip guy. You got to know these sorts of things.
Is it going to be on the E Network?
Yeah.
No, it's on USA.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I'll probably watch that. Listen.
You're not.
Anthony, pay attention
to SmackDown. They ran like five commercials on SmackDown.
I usually go to something else during the commercials.
Fair enough. All right. Well, either way, you'll have to get yourself acquainted.
No,
with
I'm definitely going to, because you know I get annoyed with reality TV, but I do get into the shows when they're either a sports personality or a sports entertainment personality. I'll at least watch them for one season. And to the defense of Total Divas and Total Bellas, Total Bellas is an absolute hit. They could be the next Kardashians. Total Divas, they kind of ran into the ground. They kind of ran that one into the ground.
Don't wish that on them. Okay, next thing you know.
I'm telling you, the Bellas and Cena and Daniel Bryan, they have something. They have it. They have Kardashian-like it.
Hey.
They also have the star power of John Cena. Mark my words, they aren't going anywhere. That show isn't going anywhere. Mike
desperately wants to move on in the worst way.
I'm ready to move on.
Okay.
Are you ready to move on? All right. You know
Andy,
what?
Andy Cohen, eat your heart out.
All right. Fair enough. Dan, why don't you, since you kind of had your, you kind of knew about this story before we did, Vince had a little bit of a power move, right?
Oh, God. Vince McMahon. We sat here last week and talked about how Ring of Honor was making their move. They had confirmed a date at Madison Square Garden in 2019. We all assumed it was going to be WrestleMania weekend, which it was going to be. We had also talked about how Vince, because MSG is basically the birthplace, you know, of WWE and his stronghold, that he has first right of refusal. So apparently Vince got on the phone with MSG, made his power play, said, "I don't want it. I don't want them. I don't want anybody there at any time." MSG called Ring of Honor, said that date is off. We don't have any other future dates for you. And at this point, basically, it's a situation. ROH says they're going to get attorneys involved. And here's my question, because maybe I am misunderstanding this and I'll have to do more work. first right of refusal, as far as I know it, is if Vince is blocking a date, he has to put a show on that date. That is not happening. That is not happening in this situation. They were going to do it WrestleMania weekend. I don't know if it was going to be Friday or Saturday. Supposedly, as one person has said, it could have been both, where they do a taping on Friday and then a big show on Saturday, or vice versa. And basically, Vince gets them out, and you know he's not going to do anything there. But here is what I
you could do something there. I'm sure you could put something there.
He's what doing everything at Barclays.
I'm just putting. Let me just put this out there. What if what if he's able to move something out of Barclays? Just saying. Or B, you know, they have this whole NXT UK bit. What if they put on a show there with the UK guys?
It's possible, but then again, we have
it would never sell out like Arena Ring of Honor. No. Would, you know, just saying.
Well, here's the thing. At this point, we don't know. As far as we know, it's just Ring of Honor's not there. There is no WWE replacement. And number two, our whole thing last week was this is Ring of Honor taking their shot at WWE. I think Vince's power move kind of backfires because we talked about how Vince was already paranoid about the idea of them being there. By Vince kicking him out, he's basically accepting them as a threat. But this was them trying to establish just where are they? Are they above SmackDown? Are they on level with NXT? Are they slightly above wherever? This was them to gauge where they were. And Vince is basically saying, I don't want you to find out because I already know how deep of a threat you are.
Maybe there's things going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. That maybe Vince McMahon's hearing rumors of possible signings and happenings going on. Maybe Vince McMahon's paranoid at his age.
Dan, go ahead, Dan.
And how can Triple H sit there and talk about how he's open to this, you know, working with Ring of Honor thing, which I thought was BS to begin with? How can he do that and then Vince pull this?
Well, I'm sure that they didn't talk to you. Listen, this isn't the first time that we've gotten some sort of sense that McMahon and Triple H don't agree, that they don't see eye to eye. I mean, listen, and Anthony, I mean, to your point, talking about how, you know, maybe Vince is getting nervous in his old age or whatever the case or whatever. I mean, this is just, to me, this is Vince still being a businessman. This is Vince still having it. You know, this, when you listen to the Pritchard podcast, when he talked to the story about Survivor Series and what was it? WCW was going to put some other event down. They were going to do pay-per-view and he made a power play, and out of that power play, long story short, came Survivor Series.
Yes, good and point that was there. His way, very good
that
point
was his
there.
Way to stunt their growth. So to me, this is telling me that Vince in 2018 still has it like he did in the 80s. Listen, he may be off on some of his creative point of views, but from a business sense, the man still got it. And hate it if you want, but Vince is Vince for a reason. And he made a power play with some balls.
I never question anything when it comes to business and Vince. Like you said, creatively, Vince may be a little behind the eight ball, but business-wise, he's always on. As far as the Ring of Honor end is concerned, all right, if MSG is off the table, and at this point it is. They're going to get attorneys involved. Maybe they can swing it, although I don't know. But assuming that's off the table, why not come down the turnpike and come here? Why not do a Philly show? It's just as big. It's just as big a market. You'll get just as many eyes. I get it's not MSG. It's not the Mecca. But
why not just go to the Rock?
That's right. Well, either way, whether it be Philly, whether it be Jersey, you could make a move to one of these places, and I'm sure one of these places would be happy to have them because they'll sell. Even if Vince puts like I said, for example. If Vince says, you know, all right, Triple H, take your new friends from the UK and toss them in the garden for about 3 hours and let's just put on a show. Who cares how many bodies we get inside there? Who cares? Because Ring of Honor's not there. If you stack that up against like a Ring of Honor show, I'd be more interested in a Ring of Honor still. I mean, Dan, we kind of mentioned that. We went back and forth. Would you be interested in A or B? I mean, if they had some sort of low-grade WWE show there, or Ring of Honor, you'd still be interested in Ring of Honor, right?
Well, obviously, I was going to say, I'm not even jumping at the idea of watching this UK tournament on the network.
I'm not really either.
No.
I mean, I'll watch it.
I agree there.
So. The only thing I was pumped for from that was NXT, and then I found out that it's pre-recorded. So I already know what happens. Like, okay, whatever. Don't need to watch that now.
All right, so let's get into Money in the Bank, which will kind of mesh with what happened, which actually, listen, we complain all the time about WWE, but, I mean, SmackDown and Raw were pretty good.
That's true. They've been way better than they have been probably in the last month.
I mean, we kill them all the time. We might as well give them some credit.
It's SummerSlam season.
What's that, Anthony?
It's SummerSlam season, really.
Yeah, finally. But, all right, so we'll go around the table here. What was your favorite part or your biggest takeaway from Money in the Bank? All right, I'll go first. For me, I couldn't – and by the way, I haven't updated the standings yet, but I couldn't have been happier to be wrong. I said here that I wanted Alexa Bliss to win. She should win because the Raw Women's Championship is at its best when it's around her waist. But I went with Natalya anyway. I went with the potential storyline, but I'm thrilled to be wrong. And she holds the belt now. She cashes in the same night. And look, what's the one segment everybody's talking about? And sure, it's not all to the credit of Alexa Bliss. It's to Ronda Rousey on Raw, but the Raw Women's title is super relevant now when it was basically on life support when Nia Jax had it.
It might be, I could argue it might be the most relevant title in all of WWE right now.
I mean, you can make the argument, sure, especially now that the Intercontinental title has changed hands now, yeah. I think you would have said Intercontinental belt if Rollins still had it.
I was like, maybe you want to argue Styles and that belt, but I don't know.
No, but that's about it.
I was going to say, my big takeaway for Money in the Bank, and I'll piggyback off of you, is what didn't happen in that match. And that's that I think this whole time we had this expectation that somehow, some way, there was going to be involvement from Stephanie McMahon.
Right.
Whether it was during the match, whether she was going to come out, you know, and be the big reveal afterwards, whatever. And there is nothing. Off of Monday and what we see, you know, I'm sure Anthony will jump all over that and try and tie that in. But I have to wonder, with everything that we've been led to believe up to this point, have they maybe started to move away from that idea of the Ronda Steph storyline? Like, is that done?
We'll find out because it is SummerSlam season. So if we're going to find out, we're going to find out real soon. But Anthony, what about you?
You know, my biggest takeaway is from a totally different match, and it is from the Ronda Rousey match, and how I am still disappointed in how they're using her. I do believe that she is turning heel. She snapped. It's almost like they're doing Ken Shamrock 2.0 here. But that Money in the Bank match, I don't know. She just doesn't have it. She's missing something. I don't know if it's that edge that we did see. Maybe that's a Ronda I'm expecting because she's coming from the UFC and because the Brock Lesnar's and the Ken Shamrock's paved the way. But she's really looking more like Dan Severn out there right now. UFC guy who didn't pan out.
I don't know. Man, you may be in the minority about that. I mean,
I was gonna say,
Ronda Rousey needs to turn heel. She needs to turn heel. I just don't think she's ready. I just don't think she's there yet.
What didn't you like about the Money in the Bank match?
What do you mean? She doesn't look like she's ready.
I thought they threw her in.
I think she's in there too soon. I think they're just trying to force it out of her right now.
You're like Mike said, I think you're in the minority here. I had no
then
problem.
I'll be in the minority. I'm not happy with how they're using her, and I don't think she's ready. Now, what happened on Monday night is a start, but I need to see more of that moving forward.
Did we lose Mike?
We might. We did have some technical issues on the face-off, the fantasy football show the other day, where Mike was coming in and out. So let's just move on, and I think Mike will find his way back into the show.
I was like, when Mike gets back, we'll let him carry the torch again, but I'll carry it for now. So, right, we went through the women's. Alexa wins the briefcase. She cashes in, blah, blah, blah. Let's go to Styles Nakamura. Me and Mike both thought we would see a draw. That didn't happen. Styles wins outright. And here's what I want to say. I don't have a problem with Styles winning outright. It's the reason why Styles wins outright. Okay. The day after it comes out that Styles is the cover of the 2K19 video game. And that's why the decision was made that he won, because, you know, they didn't want the belt coming off of him and driving down video game sales. I'm sorry. Like, I don't have a problem with it, but that shouldn't dictate your storyline.
You know, because of that Nakamura loss, and we talked about this, I believe, on last week's show, right? Where it seemed like Nakamura was losing his push and there could be a language barrier. It seems like they're moving into another direction. They're moving away from the Nakamura chasing that title. Well, because isn't Jeff Hardy now? They're starting up a program with Hardy and Nakamura.
That's certainly how it looks. And we also...
Rusev is getting that push.
Yeah. Although I don't know how long that push will last, but we see Nakamura kind of get pushed to the side. Asuka finally loses by a pinfall for the first time ever. You know, whether you want to blame Ellsworth for it or not, but she got pinned cleanly. I mean, I don't know how else we're supposed to take the idea that Nakamura and Asuka were built up all the way to WrestleMania, and now they've been nothing but a decline from then on.
Where do you see it going from here as we have Mike back?
God damn internet.
Maybe he's back.
Mike, we have you.
Anyway, what are you talking about?
We're talking about how basically Shinsuke and Asuka, after being built up all the way to WrestleMania, have been on the steep decline ever since. Shinsuke now off the Styles program and moving into a program with Jeff Hardy.
You hear me?
Okay, maybe we don't have Mike.
No, we don't. We lost. I think we're losing Mike again.
Never. I was going to say, I had the bad show a couple of weeks ago. Well, Mike's taking that.
I'm sure you guys already mentioned.
Okay, then. All right, so maybe Mike's internet will kick in at some point. But I mean, let me ask you this, Anthony.
Okay.
Do you have any interest in Nakamura and Hardy?
No, I think the match might be exciting, but I don't know if I want to see it going on a 3-month run until SummerSlam. You know, maybe they put a belt on. That's how you see a belt on Nakamura. Maybe they try to work him up.
That's kind of what I was thinking, because, you know, how long am I really supposed to expect Hardy to win that belt?
You know, Hardy more or less seems like the bridge guy for that belt.
And if Mike ever gets his internet to work, I want to know if last night's vignette with Hardy was maybe the opening to seeing Brother Nero.
That's a good point. I didn't even think of that.
He teased it a little bit with the way he was talking, and then with the contacts. It wasn't a pure Brother Nero look, but it was awfully close. So I wonder if maybe he starts steering in that direction.
But then he would have to go do a brand jump, right?
No, he doesn't have to be with Matt to be Brother Nero.
Okay, I thought that all tied in together.
Why? In in the TNA version, they fought each other.
Okay, I got you.
I was saying, Brother Nero was deleted in a final deletion, much like Bray Wyatt was. So, all right. Sticking with Money in the Bank, let's go to the men's Money in the Bank match. And they kind of took all the surprise element out of this. The guy that everybody kind of thought would win, even though we all kind of picked Miz here, they went with the obvious choice and they give it to Braun. And to me, this is Vince having a safety play.
For SummerSlam, that's, you mean?
I think we're going to get Roman Brock again. And I think that if the crowd reacts like, one, they have been, they have in the past, and two, how I expect them to react, he's going to hit the eject button and you're going to see the Braun cash in.
Could very well happen. That's a good point.
Not to mention, with the way they've had Braun talk, don't you have to have the Braun cash in at SmackDown? Braun has called out Brock Lesnar even before he won the briefcase and even on Monday after he won the briefcase. You have to have him cash in at SummerSlam. Because I don't know when you're gonna if you're going to see Brock after SummerSlam.
So you think his move is imminent?
I think the cash in has to happen at SummerSlam. I like, you know, we still have what, a month and a half, 2 months here to see how this plays out. But at right. at this very moment, if I had to make a prediction, I don't think that belt lands on Roman.
No, I don't see that either.
Let's go with round three to Mike. Is Mike available?
I think so. If my internet's
there, working. We go. Mike is good.
I can't promise it's going to work the whole show. I'm not quite sure what's going on. I'm so aggravated by it that I grabbed a second beer. So
that's fine. We'll ride you while we got you.
That's what she
so,
said.
So, all right. So let's catch you up and let's get your thoughts on a couple of things that we ran through here. So first, the Asuka Shinsuke situation. Shinsuke now has been moved off of the Styles program. He's going on the Jeff Hardy thing. And Asuka got cleanly pinned for the first time ever by Carmella at Money in the Bank. So we've got to have, you know, kind of what Anthony's been talking about for 2 weeks. We kind of have to ride with that thought process now, do we not? That after being built up so much up to WrestleMania, and now they've been on a downward slide ever since, that this language barrier thing has to be a factor.
It could potentially.
Oh, absolutely.
The only thing about Shinsuke that I'll say is, I mean, if you think about who are the three biggest stars on SmackDown right now that are wrestling, you know, because I know Orton's currently out. I mean, there's Styles, which he just had a very long program with. Then there's Daniel Bryan, but we all know Daniel Bryan and The Miz are eventually going to be locking horns. So who's the third biggest? It's Jeff Hardy. He's the third biggest face on the brand. So I do think that there's something to the whole language thing. I think they're a little worried, but I think they value Shinsuke enough that they say, well, let's just put him with the U.S. champion at least. Which, right. By the way, you talk about titles that are completely irrelevant. I mean,
yeah, that's kind of why that's kind of what we expect Shinsuke to get this one.
But the Asuka thing bothers me a lot more than the Shinsuke thing. I don't think it hurt her as much to lose to Charlotte. Yeah, I know she lost the streak, but I mean, she lost to Charlotte Flair. And Charlotte Flair is believed to be the best in the company, the best of the best, you know. But to get pinned clean by I guess clean-ish because of James Ellsworth distracts the mighty Asuka.
Yeah.
I think it's way more of a downgrade for her. Do you think she's eventually going to win the – if she stays in that program, she can't lose again, can she?
I have no faith in them doing anything with her at this point. Every time I think she's going to get over the hump, they find some other way.
To me, it is 100% a language barrier, and I think we're going to see Asuka get buried in it.
That's a damn shame, to be honest with you.
Absolutely. She's so talented, and you know, it's the way the ball bounces sometimes, I guess.
two other questions I posed, Mike. One, the Jeff Hardy Shinsuke thing. Do you have interest in that program?
I actually do.
All right, Mike has interest in this. We don't.
I mean, I do to a degree. I mean, I'm not like, you know, I'm like, oh, I can't wait for this match, but I'm mildly interested. Okay. I think the personalities, make it more than what it is.
And here's the other thing I want to ask, because Anthony wouldn't know, but you would.
Okay.
The vignette Hardy did last night.
Yeah.
Was that the opening to Brother Nero?
That's what I was thinking, yes.
Okay, you and me are on the same wavelength there.
Yeah.
Okay, with the way he spoke and the contacts aren't 100%, but everything there started to blend into maybe we get Brother Nero.
Yeah.
And I think that's the move. We've got to get Brother Nero.
Yeah, I think it's a very slow roll into that, yeah. And I think it's got to get taken, just like it did with Matt Hardy. It had to get, he's getting beat up, had to get taken out of him, and then all of a sudden, here he is.
All right, cool. So we're on the same wavelength there. All right, so Mike, now what we're currently on is we're talking about Men's Money in the Bank match, and we're talking about how they kind of went with the, obvious choice in Braun, even though we didn't think it would be obvious. And I'm saying that this is Vince with his safe play. Okay, come SummerSlam, we get Roman Brock again, and Vince is basically going with, if the crowd reacts how they have and how I basically expect them to, he's going to hit the eject button, and we're going to get the Braun cash in. And also, I'm saying that with the way they've had Braun talk lately, before Money in the Bank calling out Brock, after Money in the Bank calling out Brock, you have to have the cash in at SummerSlam, because I'm not sure if you see Brock after SummerSlam.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. He's calling him out a little too much, makes it a little too obvious. Excuse me as I rotate here. But yeah, I mean, do you guys think, though, that with Seth Rollins now dropping the Intercontinental title, do you think that kind of opens the door to potentially maybe him getting in there with Brock? I mean, I think you mentioned it, Dan, on the last show. I'm sure Roman's going to get in there. Maybe we're talking about like a triple threat, perhaps, of some kind.
I think Seth, I don't know how, because I thought maybe if they could somehow work Brock to do Extreme Rules, that would make it easier. But obviously that's off the table.
Right.
So, but yeah, everything that has been leaked, and then with the dropping of the belt, people want to say, oh, Seth got hurt because that's all a work. He's not hurt.
Right.
I think, yeah, everything is led up to Seth. And remember, Seth this whole time has basically been calling out Brock too on Twitter. Fighting champion, I fight every week. Where's your champion? Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to happen, but yeah, somehow, some way, I think he inserts himself.
I mean, this is basically, to me, this is like Great Balls of Fire 2.0.
Oh.
We're using a match with multiple top superstars in an effort to hold you guys over until we get to SummerSlam, and then you get to see Brock Lesnar again. And I mean, I think it's also the only thing I'd like about this match is that it finally gives Bobby Lashley something credible to work with. He's going to be working with top guys. Roman, I'm sure Seth will find a way in there. And I mean, Dean's got to come back soon, right? One would imagine.
Yeah, Dean's going to come back before SummerSlam, I think, or at SummerSlam, one or the other. Here's the one thing, and I said this to Anthony, based off of everything at this point, and we've still got a month and a half, 2 months to see how this unfolds. As of this point, I feel confident in the idea that the day after SummerSlam, the belt won't be on Roman.
Right.
I can't envision a way that Roman walks away with the belt.
I think it's a scenario where everybody wins in some fashion. Like, for example, I'm the type where I get it that he's a huge draw, but I want to see the title on Raw. I want to see the title on Raw. So this helps me, but it helps guys like you or maybe Anthony who, whatever, if you got to eat it and if Brock can't be champion, fine, so be it. But, like, not Roman. That's basically what everybody's thinking, right?
I'm over it, too.
What?
I said I'm over the whole Roman Reigns thing, too, but unfortunately, we know this is the WWE's way.
Not to mention, I mean, Braun, you know, in a very different way, has that Daniel Bryan push to him. The crowd wants Braun with the title. They want to see that. Like, Braun is this just massive, you know, roll over everything in his path. What could he do with the title? People want to see that. This is their way to give the people what they want.
You know, let me bring this scenario up. Is there a way we see, you know, because Roman Reigns, he's had these short-lived type of reigns, right? Do we see him win the title and then Braun cash in on Roman, possibly the same night, possibly the next night, and it's short-lived?
I could totally see Roman beating Brock.
Because Roman has already beat Brock. Maybe Brock doesn't want to lose to another opponent, and he'll lose to Roman Reigns, and then we see the cash in. That makes sense too.
That was the other thing.
Maybe they want to save Brock and Braun for WrestleMania.
Mike, did you find the Alexa cash in weird?
I wasn't expecting it, but no, I think it's
I'm not talking about how it went down. Because, like, Nia was never really out. Like, normally when we see a cash in, you know, like even how Alexa came in and beat the crap out of Ronda, and, like, she took Ronda out of the equation, but Nia was never really out of it. Like, Nia was standing and when she was cashing in.
Yeah, I don't know.
They played it off with the arm injury. And no, they showed Alexa Bliss attacking that, and
I don't know. Maybe the other thing was they didn't want to go with that approach.
I'm saying
because, for example, like, you know, like, you're sitting here saying it's strange that it didn't happen in the fashion that it happens every single time. It seems like, you know,
maybe they wanted
to throw a curveball. I don't know.
I hear you.
I was more surprised than anything else. I'll put it to you this way. I got a dirty look from my fiance when we were watching the pay-per-view, because when Alexa was climbing up the ladder and when I knew she was going to get the briefcase, I yelled out, go get it, girl. And it did not go over well.
Oh, really? It was
5 seconds of awkward silence.
Yeah, I was happy.
But when she came in and delivered that blow with the briefcase, I was too pumped to even care about what else was going on.
But here's the thing. And, you know, while we speculated that it might be Natalya, we did have that right. We said on last week's show, if the women go on first, expect the cash in to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as we get on creative on this show, I'll give creative some dap on this. That match, they played perfectly. Yeah. Nia beat the crap out of Ronda for a very long time. They make Ronda look like she's going to get over in the end, and then boom, here comes Alexa to wipe it all out. Alexa cashes. They got everybody in their spot right on.
And I think
I can't knock anything on that one.
And I think it's brilliant too, because in case anybody thought that Alexa was losing steam as being a heel, having her cash in on that match when everybody was hoping that Ronda would win is brilliant. Puts her right back up. And then bleeding into the promo on Raw is fantastic. Like, her promo, Nia Jax, in all of her promos in her WWE career, didn't even amount to what Alexa said on the microphone before she was manhandled. I mean, before she was thrown through that table. I'm telling you, the title is at its best when it's on Alexa Bliss. And I saw somebody tweet this, and I wish I could remember. You know how Alexa does that little arm thing, the little trick with her arm?
Yeah,
you better believe they're gonna do that with Ronda when she puts her in the armbar at some point. You just know that arm's gonna twist.
By the way, you know, I know we aren't really switching to Raw yet, but since we're talking about it, that was by far the best segment, bit, anything that we have seen from Ronda since her appearance.
110,000%.
We didn't get a single smile. Nope. We got pure aggression. We got everything.
Which, by the way, I was gonna bring that up. I was gonna bring that up before the internet cut off on me before, and hopefully it doesn't cut out now when I ask Anthony this. With Anthony being down on the whole Ronda thing, like, everything that you were disliking, they basically gave you what you wanted on Raw. No?
And I said that. I said, this is the start. Well, this is what I want to see. So. I want to see Ronda Rousey turn heel.
But see, I don't think that's her turning heel. See, and when you mentioned Ken Shamrock, when he was a good guy, people loved him because he was out of his mind. Because all of a sudden, he would just snap. People loved that. People ate into that. Here, like, you don't think that that's the kind of role they could play?
Here's the only thing that was heelish in that whole thing. The only thing that was heelish in that whole segment, and then she backtracked on it on Twitter or Instagram or whatever it was her attacking Angle.
Which was fantastic also.
And then she apologized after the fact, once she quote-unquote calmed down, went on Twitter or Instagram or whatever it was, and apologized to him. So if she's going to turn heel, there's no apology.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was in agreement with you when it first happened. I'm like, okay, this is a little heelish. Maybe he's right. Maybe they're going to go that way. But she went. No, I'm still.
Maybe, no. You know, what if they have her play almost like an unstable Jekyll and Hyde?
That's what I'm saying. That's kind of the middle ground between her being a face, which I'm sure generates merchandise and kids and all that fun stuff that we don't care about. And I think it appeases a guy like you, Anthony. Like they're kind of like, giving the middle road, like the middle ground.
I think what you guys said is true. She should maybe the best way to do her is to be a Ken Shamrock 2.0, where basically a switch flips and she just goes that crazy. Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Because if we get Monday Night Ronda on a consistent basis, people will stop complaining about Ronda.
That was literally, to me, that segment on Raw, all I was thinking the whole time was that that's all we wanted to see. From the time she came out beaming after the Royal Rumble till that very moment. That's all we wanted the whole time.
Yeah. Even Money in the Bank, even when she's coming down the ramp, she's smiling. That's the first time we got her not smiling.
Right, right. And I hope we'll see on the next, you know, when next time you'd imagine next time she returns – will obviously be after Alexa wins, and then it starts with the build up to SummerSlam. I'd imagine that's the direction they're headed in, right?
We get her, not the Raw after Extreme Rules, the following Raw.
Right, the following Raw.
But I was like, her suspension ends 3 days after Extreme Rules.
Right.
So you gotta wait another week after that.
So that week when she storms down the ramp, probably when Alexa's doing some sort of celebration saying that she's the best, hopefully there's not a smile on her face.
I think there's a shot we see her breach suspension.
I think it would play. I mean, I wouldn't say no right away. I think that kind of plays into the whole unstable bit.
Here's what they could do, though, if you want to breach suspension. Have her at Extreme Rules with a ticket.
Yeah, it's cool.
And then she could jump the barricade or whatever.
I'll buy into that.
But give her a legit, you know, give her a legit way that she's there and she's not breaching, only to then breach.
Fair enough. I mean, either way, I think it only helps that if they're delivering that message that we think they are, I think it only helps further drive that point that she's unstable.
Either way, that's the best Raw segment we've had in God knows how long.
God knows. Yeah, absolutely. 110%. Now, quickly though, I don't know if you guys touched base on this, and I don't know if we're talking Raw, SmackDown, whatever. We're just kind of throwing it all together here. The Dolph Ziggler winning the Intercontinental title, what do you think that means for the Intercontinental title? Do you think he hangs on to it for a little bit? And what do you think that means for Drew McIntyre? Because I think the popular belief was that we all thought they were headed towards the tag team championship, or do you think that they just start winning all the titles because they're taking over, and it's a weak locker room, so to speak? So do you think they take the tag titles? And I mean, me and Anthony would be gushing from ear to ear if Drew McIntyre took the Universal title, but whatever.
Right, yeah, Anthony? I don't know if we're going to get the Universal title.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get that either. But I like that idea of them kind of running roughshod over the rest of the locker room and capturing the tag titles. And Dolph Ziggler has that. I mean, what if they may have him make a run eventually? I think it's bound to happen for Drew McIntyre.
Because listen,
Vince, I just don't know if it's going to be in the next 3 months.
I mean, Vince McMahon liked Drew McIntyre
before
he looked like before he looked like a man that came down from a mountaintop and just killed 12 lions with one hand. Like, he liked him when he was chest shaven, looking like a young European boy. Like, he loved him then. McMahon has to be infatuated with the idea of this guy being like a top guy.
It's right? almost like when Triple H was the blue blood, and then comes exactly. back as the cerebral as a complete assassin. Badass.
And there's your Triple H mention. There you go.
Yeah, man, we knew we were going to get one. Now, trust me, I'm going to give him enough Triple H later. But here's what I envision with this Dolph thing. You know, I think Anthony brought it up last week or the week before how, you know, he looks at Dolph and Drew as kind of the Shawn Diesel thing.
Right.
And I see that storyline playing out. I see Drew kind of being that guy for Dolph here for a little bit. And then we get the separation.
Right. I hate the slow build because I know he's ready for it now. I get it. I get why they would do it. And it does make sense storyline wise. Just the impatient wrestling fan of me. I want it now. That's pretty much what I'm going to say until McIntyre really breaks through. Yeah.
Could be a SummerSlam thing. I don't know if we'll go slow build.
And by the way, sidebar, because I just thought about this, because I think, Dan, I think you have the same problem I do. Anthony?
Right.
You love Triple H, right?
I do.
Oh, we're going to bring this up finally?
We're going to do it right now. We're going to do it right now. Anthony,
We need to put this on Twitter to the people. We need the people to vote on this.
No, we are. We are going to do a poll. And Anthony, buddy, old pal, why is it if you love Triple H, why don't you watch NXT?
I just can't get into it, Mike.
What do you mean?
I can't get into it. But what is Triple H? That's his thing. You know what? He also has his hand in the UK tournaments. You care about that?
He doesn't run and produce those, though. He is hands deep in NXT.
And
NXT is his baby.
And Anthony, listen,
Terrell Owens is my boy too, but I didn't go buy his popcorn when he was selling it.
Anthony,
you're deflecting.
Exactly. Don't deflect. Back to the question. We got you in a quarter. We want an answer.
You didn't even watch TakeOver after you said you had nothing better to do.
For example, Anthony,
loyal to the WWE. I don't know what it is. You know, I wasn't a WCW guy. I barely watched ECW. I appreciate that stuff now. I will watch that stuff now, and I have watched it. But when during the Monday Night Wars, there was no Monday Night Wars. There was no NWO for me. It was D-Generation X. It was Vince McMahon. It was Stone Cold Steve Austin during that era. It's just that's what it is. That's what wrestling is to me.
TakeOver was way more than 10 times better than Money in the Bank was, and you didn't even watch it. But then you want to jump on a guy like Drew McIntyre when he comes up to the main roster after he's been in NXT for a year doing the exact same thing.
Anthony, I asked you a question about NXT, and you hopped in a DeLorean, and you went back in time.
Hey.
Anthony, if I end up getting you a ticket to TakeOver in Brooklyn, will you go?
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Will you actually watch, or will you just like go to the concession stand?
I'll watch. I might actually still go because ATL Mikey wants to go to this live event. It might be me and ATL Mikey at the Garden in a couple weeks.
That's fine.
If ATL Mikey hasn't been like locked away in Atlantic City after his supposed gambling spree.
Anthony.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you two words to sum up your. No, not that one. Another two words. To sum up you hanging out with ATL Mikey. Ready? Two words. And you'll tell me eventually that I was right. I'm a smart man.
Okay.
I already know what these two words are.
Small doses. Small doses.
Hopefully we can make it out of the house show alive.
I was going to go with not happening.
Well, I mean, it's not happening on my end. I've got too much going on, but for you, Anthony, small doses, my man.
I need to go see The Undertaker.
By the way,
I don't blame you.
Mike, did you know that the Gargano and Champ street fight, right, which was amazing.
Yeah.
That was originally supposed to be the Styles Nakamura match.
Huh.
Basically, once they decided that they were going street fight with NXT, they changed Styles Nakamura to a last man standing. That was originally supposed to be the Styles Nakamura match.
And that just goes to show you, and Anthony, I know we joked around with you about NXT, but that just goes to show you just how powerful or how great of a story that's being told in NXT between Gargano and between Ciampa. The fact that based on what's going on in NXT, they're going to do this over here with SmackDown, with the WWE Championship.
And by the way, I think we get the trilogy match at TakeOver Brooklyn. And then I think after SummerSlam, Gargano gets the call.
Yeah, and that's literally, honestly, I won't mention the strings that I pulled, but that was literally once I saw that match, I literally started pulling the strings that I pull for TakeOver tickets because I knew.
What is it about NXT that you guys are drawn to?
What it is.
To me, I'm sorry to interrupt, Dan.
No, go for it.
And then you can go because I'm sure yours will be more passionate than mine. But to me, it's wrestling at its core. There's some storyline, of course, that builds into this, but there's no BS. There's no pancakes getting thrown around. There's no jokes. There's no hijinks. It's wrestling. To me, this is why it should be up your alley, Anthony. To me, it's kind of, there is high flying, but it's very old school. It's a great mesh of old school and high flying. And to me, the biggest thing, if you go on the network, because Anthony, I know you like the network, and I mean, so do I. If you watch each and every one of these takeovers, the biggest takeaway from a takeover is the crowd. The crowd is intense. You don't get that at any other pay-per-view. You didn't get that at Money in the Bank. You don't get that at other pay-per-views. But Dan, what's your...
You kind of took most of what I was going to say is that number one is for Anthony, this should be up your alley because they do everything that you want. There's enough storyline there for it to make sense. You know, they don't just pick stuff out of a hat like you see on the main roster. Okay. They give these guys depth. They all have something. Okay. They all cut pretty good promos. You know, there's nobody on there
If I don't want to see No Way Jose on Raw, what the hell makes me want to think I want to see a guy like No Way Jose at TakeOver?
Because you wouldn't see a guy like No Way Jose at a TakeOver. You'll see him on NXT taping.
Yeah, No Way Jose wasn't a prominent TakeOver guy.
Yeah.
Then why the call-up? You know, why selfie stick?
Here's the thing. Okay, and here's what I said about this.
But we'll talk about No Way Jose in a moment, though. We'll talk about No Way Jose in a moment. But you go.
Here's what, you know, and I might have put this up, I forget. But here's what I said about this takeover as compared to Money in the Bank. When you look at Money in the Bank and you take it match by match, okay, and you go, how many just great matches did I have at Money in the Bank? Maybe two. Look at TakeOver, which is to the point. I think it was six matches total. I can point to two of them where I'm like, they were okay. The other four, outstanding. Not even good. Outstanding. You don't get that at any of the paper. You don't even get that at WrestleMania.
Now I want to say all this before we let Anthony reply. Because we're ragging Anthony kind of hard here about the NXT thing.
Because he's behind the eight ball.
There's one thing I'll say that I could understand Anthony's perspective on. Anthony's not a big – he doesn't watch a lot of takeovers. So he doesn't know which guys are on the card, so on and so forth. All of a sudden, he hears from guys like us that he's got to watch TakeOver. All of a sudden, he puts on Raw, and No Way Jose is doing a dance around the ring, and he says, why do I got to turn on NXT for
100,
when I got No Way Jose standing around?
100% my issue right there.
And that's why I'll say this. For as great as NXT is, it's hard to convey that to a guy like Anthony when these people come up from NXT and they do nothing with him. Look at Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode needs to be a heel immediately. That guy is on the borderline of falling into the wrestling abyss. We talked about Asuka earlier. Now she's just losing. When she was in NXT, she was just flat out dominant. I mean,
well, this,
Dawson. I mean, Scott. You know those guys.
Yeah, the revival.
You know, and Sanity finally showed up. Authors of Pain. So I get Anthony. I will tell you that beyond all of that BS on the main roster, you have to give TakeOver a chance. Okay. Don't do what I do. Do what I do. I follow the NXT tapings loosely. TakeOvers, I'm all in.
Yeah, just watch the TakeOvers at least. But
that's it, man.
Here's what I will say, and this will kind of bleed into what I wanted to bring up. You know, Triple H is out there, you know, talking up this UK tournament and whatnot. So he was saying a lot of things, and we've discussed on the past couple of weeks my idea that you need to have an NXT WWE crossover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that way it makes the NXT guys more relevant and it gives more depth to the main roster. It makes it all relevant. Here is Triple H.
Don't we have too much depth on the main roster as it is?
No, just listen to me. This is your boy talking. You should want to listen to this. He is open to a crossover NXT versus WWE. He says pay-per-view. And he says, and Shawn Michaels joked that John Cena would probably turn up for free because they talked about the fact that Cena has been talking about how he works with NXT. He wants to do a match with Velveteen Dream. And Triple H basically said, if Cena came to me with an idea and said he wanted to do it, I wouldn't turn him down.
Okay.
So Triple H is already thinking about what I'm banging the drum for. Okay, you know, all these NXT guys are getting called up and being lost in the mesh. Use them where they're relevant.
You guys are going to hate this.
Sure.
But that scenario also opens up the door for an HBK in the game. It opens up the door if you want to split brands, if you want to go head on head, why not HBK, who is a prominent trainer in NXT, lacing it up against Triple H?
As much as I hate that he just said that, it wouldn't shock me because HBK apparently gushes over these NXT guys, which he should because he plays a hand in it now. So, as much as I hate it just came out of Anthony's mouth, he's not wrong.
I'll tell you why he's wrong. Shawn Michaels cleared up his rumors about a comeback. He'd be interested in a tag match against other 40 or older guys because he can't keep up with the wrestlers in their prime because it wouldn't look or feel the same.
Okay, so how about a Survivor Series style match where you have Triple H on one side and HBK and his guys on the other and Triple H and his Raw guys on the other? HBK. You have a 40-year-old to put him in.
I don't think he wants to go against Triple H. I think he wants to team with him.
Listen, if you're going to have that happen, if it's going to happen, if you're going to have an NXT versus Raw, I 100% believe we are going to see HBK and Triple H. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. It makes too much sense, and it would draw too much.
All right, well, that being said, we probably should wrap this show up soon. We've probably been going on for a little bit. Is there anything else anybody wants to say in closing?
Here's just a couple of more things from that Triple H press conference.
Sure.
All right. First of all, they brought up Brock Lesnar to him. He was very snippy about Brock. He did not want to answer anything concerning Brock. So that was a sore subject. He laughed at the suggestion that WWE alters the crowd noise or silences crowd chants.
Come on, Trips.
Come on. But here's the big one. Triple H said there is a huge announcement on women's wrestling coming very soon.
Women's tag titles.
Yes. Okay, we talked about that pre-Money in the Bank that we thought that could happen. Like, what else could it be at this point? They've done everything else.
Yeah. That has to be what it is. Because you're right. There literally is nothing else.
I don't know what
unless
else
he says
be.
Something. Unless he says something... You know what? You know what this could kind of – I'll give it one other scenario that it could be besides women's tag team titles. That's what everybody's thinking because what else could it be? Watchy says at that Australian, you know, big bonanza, we're going to do a Royal Rumble with the women this time. Like, you know.
Eh.
I know.
No, I hear you.
I know it doesn't appease you, but it sounds like the kind of thing that,
man,
he like a tease, like a nice tease. Get us all hot and bothered, and then give us cat food.
I could see. Okay. Yeah. Also, we would be remiss to wrap up this show without talking about the big loss of the day.
Wow, Big Van Vader, right?
Yes.
Yes, I know. Damn shame.
You know, but he held on for as long as he could.
Exactly. Apparently he had a battle with pneumonia, no?
Yeah, and it was a very public battle. I know he was actively speaking on social media about his progress, and, you know, he really did keep in touch with the fans and keep everybody in the loop.
Sucks.
So my biggest,
is too young.
My biggest memory of Vader will be his appearance on Boy Meets World.
Absolutely. I think for a lot of guys our age, that would be...
Yeah, there was all kind of appearances. Wasn't he on Family Matters? Was that the Bushwhackers?
I think that was the Bushwhackers.
Yeah,
that
was the Bushwhackers, right.
Probably.
You're right.
But, yeah. Anthony, do you have anything to say in closing? And also, by the way, you haven't mentioned Kamala.
Yeah, I was saying, no Kamala mentioned this week.
No, we talked about Kamala a lot last week.
Okay. All right.
For the purpose of a conversation, I might have to switch up my wrestling guys in the front of my desk. And I think Kamala's going to have to make an appearance out there.
And by the way, I'll say this, that if you follow us on Twitter, @pro_wrestlingRV, our profile picture currently is a picture of Kamala.
It is.
I did that just to make Anthony happy.
I'm ecstatic about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, once I get a logo, I don't know how much longer he's going to be there for.
Yeah.
Once we actually meet.
Yeah, I'll say you're getting a week tops.
I don't know. Maybe even tomorrow. Enjoy it while it's there.
Enjoy the 24 hours.
I've got some ideas in mind to make Anthony happy. So there you go. So, I mean, not much for me in closing. Just looking forward to this build up now towards SummerSlam, because I'll be in attendance and I'll continue to rub it in your face, Dan, until the show.
I still hate you.
I know.
If anybody knows where I can get, every episode of Thunder in Paradise.
Oh, my God.
Let me know.
Why don't you just @Netflix on Twitter and just let them know that you're looking for some Thunders of Paradise?
That was an awesome show. I loved it.
God.
I loved it.
You would love it.
Every week, Anthony comes up with some 90s nostalgia garbage that nobody else wants.
Right.
Watch out before I bring in Suburban Commando.
But everything he brings up, though, he's passionate as hell about. Like, he really wants it.
I do.
Like, when was the last time anybody mentioned Thunder in Paradise?
Just now, probably. I mean, besides that, maybe 15 years ago.
Good God.
Do we know when that aired? Anthony, do you know when that aired? Are you on IMDb?
Early 90s.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got to be 93-ish.
93, 94.
Wow. Show it's a wonderful, wonderful show, and it should live right where it is in the past.
Do you guys remember one more wrestling movie? The Rock and Wrestling movie. Captain Lou Albano, Axe was in it with he was the heel.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what was the name of that?
Oh, I don't know. But I know what you're talking about, but I don't know.
Rock and Wrestling.
I was like, was that not the name? Or something very close to that?
I thought it was, yeah. Well, Anthony's going to think about it or look it up, but...
Maybe I'll watch it tonight. I'll figure it out and watch it.
We are going to start to gear this sucker up, so tomorrow we're going to be doing a lot of social media activity, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, so we'll get that all out to you shortly, so we'll do that, and we got some other tricks
body
up
slam.
Our sleeve, so... What's that, Anthony?
It was called Body Slam, by the way.
Ah, there you go.
Terrific.
Mystery solved. Now you all can sleep easy, so...
Yep.
I'm Mike, that's Dan, that's Anthony. We'll see you next week. Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Oh. Yeah. All right. I'm down.
Is this his new thing every week where we go off and he plays some weird music?
I love it.
It's the Fabulous Rougeaus, man.
Fantastic. All American boys. Let it rip.
I'll give you this much. This is way better than Kamala.
Have a good week, everybody.